Today, we will continue our topic of obedience. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 reads, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine." If we want to be God's people, there is one condition, and only one condition, to truly obey his voice and keep his covenants. This is quite different from all other religions in the world, where one will worship the God only if their prayers are answered. But our God is quite different. If we want him to listen to our prayer, if we want to be his people, there is one condition: we must obey his voice and keep his covenants. In the New King James translation, it says that "then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." In order to be the special treasure to God, it is extremely important whether we are the ones who obey his voice and keep his covenants. This passage in Exodus was spoken through Moses on the third month after the Israelites were brought out of Egypt. Unfortunately, the people failed to listen, and only Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land of Canaan. God said it very clearly: "If you want to be my special treasure, then you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant." After circling the wilderness for 40 years, and before Joshua and Caleb led the next generation into the promised land of Canaan, God spoke through Moses again in the book of Deuteronomy, which means the repetition of the law. As you're reading the book of Deuteronomy, we will see that there is a constant reminder for the Israelites. In order to receive this promised land of Canaan as an inheritance, it is extremely important to obey God's voice and keep his covenant. Otherwise, this promised land is not going to be yours, and you will not be able to live in it. When we don't obey his voice nor keep his covenant, we are living outside of God's protection over us, and it gives the enemy the opportunity to come and to destroy us. We must take God's word seriously and not be tricked by the enemy when he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Adam and Eve should only be hearing or obeying God when the serpent said to Eve, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" She listened to the wrong voice, and the rest is history. A person who is obedient to God will grow and mature steadily, and their growth will be obvious to those around him. The topic of obedience is really important to someone who wants to live a life of inner life. Then what is this promised land? This land of Canaan is Jesus Christ living fully in us. He himself is our abundant inheritance, and all his abundant inheritance will too become ours. The only condition is that we become an obedient people and truly obey his voice and keep his covenants. There are so many Christians who are unable to have such inheritance. They lack joy, hope, and peace in their life because they are disobedient to God's commandments. On the flip side, one may see the obedient people of God are full of joy, peace, and hope, even in tough circumstances. What kind of blessings does obedience bring? They will receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it mentions the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. If we want to be constantly filled by the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, then we must obey him. What other blessing does obedience bring? God will manifest himself to him. In John chapter 14, verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." One who loves God will keep his commandments, and God will manifest himself to him. In verse 23, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If anyone wants to keep his word, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come and make their home with him." In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2 and 3, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may that live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." What does it mean to spend money here? It means to pay the price, to make sacrifices to gain something. We often pay the price for things we want in life, whether it's time or money, to obtain things that does not satisfy. Brothers and sisters, we must pay attention to the things in life we are paying the price and making sacrifices for. Some may be willing to travel the distance to eat and to shop, but are we willing to pay the price to seek Him? God knows all the sacrifice we make to seek Him. Let's ask ourselves some questions. Where are we spending our money? And what are we making sacrifices for? Is it worth it? Does it satisfy my soul? God says to diligently listen to Him and eat what is good and delight ourselves in rich food. Eating what is good and delight ourselves in rich food is talking about Jesus Himself and His presence. For example, when we're spending time with Him, we're paying the price to eat what is good. Sometimes it may be a simple price to pay, to open our mouth to praise when we're feeling down, by choosing to overcome our emotions and raise our voices to praise Him. In Psalm 22:3 and Psalm 89:15, it says, "God is enthroned on our praises, and blessed are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your face." If we want to consistently walk in the light of His face, then we must open our mouth to praise Him in all circumstances. So many believers have read this and knows this passage, yet they are unwilling to pay the price, to walk in the light of His face. In verse 3, the Bible says to incline your ear and come to me, hear and your soul shall live. Are we inclining our ears to listen? God will make an everlasting covenant with us, the steadfast, sure love for David, through Jesus who completed the covenant by dying on the cross. All of His inheritance is ours, and the steadfast, sure love is ours, but under the condition that we will incline our ears to listen and hear His voice. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." And in John chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." One can recognize another who is constantly following God's commandments because there is a seal of love upon them. They are loved and abide in His love. Because they obey His commandments and abide in His love, they have nothing to fear, and they won't question God's love. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be filled by God's love, obey His commandments. In John chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus said, "You are my friend if you do what I command you." He calls us friends. Would you like to be His friend? Abraham listened and obey the word of God when he was instructed to sacrifice his only son Isaac, and that's why he was called the friend of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." If we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Missionary George Mueller was a man who followed God's commands. There was a time where he needed to travel by ship to a place to preach. However, the captain told him that they would not be able to arrive as scheduled due to the dense fog ahead of them, and the weather doesn't seem to be clearing up. Mueller believed that God wanted him to preach at the place, and he had faith that he would arrive on time. So he got on his knees to pray. The captain watched Mueller praying on his knee and was about to get on his knee to pray until Mueller stopped him and told him that You don't need to pray because one, you don't believe in God, and two, God has already answered my prayer. Soon after, the weather cleared up and the ship arrived as scheduled. As a man who keeps God's commands and does what pleases him, Mueller's unwavering faith knows that whatever he asks, he receives from God. Another thing to keep in mind is that more people praying doesn't mean it is better. If one doesn't believe nor have faith, there's no need for them to pray. Mueller knows that he's obedient to God, so God will answer his prayers. Brothers and sisters, for our prayers to be powerful and be heard by God, one important thing to keep in mind is whether we are paying attention to his commandments, which is another reason why we must read the Bible, to know what other commandments have we not been keeping and that we should start keeping. In Luke chapter 11, 27-28, as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you were nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keeps it." This passage says that if we hear the word of God and keep it, then we don't need to envy Jesus' mother Mary. Mary was a very blessed woman that God have chosen her out of millions of people to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus was born. But Jesus said that blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keeps them. Brothers and sisters, did you know that you can be more blessed than Mary simply by hearing and keeping his words? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Wow. We can be this close relationship with Jesus to be his brother, sister, and mother? There are so many other Bible verses regarding blessings through our obedience, which we can all go and study ourselves. It's a paradox if we ask God for blessing, yet we are unwilling to obey. At this point, I think we all would like to be an obedient people. Let's spend some time to see who we should be obedient to from a biblical perspective, and at the same time asking God to reveal to us whom in our lives should we be obedient to, and which areas in our lives we often overlook and are losing out on blessings. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 13-16, "Therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish man, as free yet not using liberty as cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." The passage says, for the Lord's sake, to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. And Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist have been instituted by God." God created the world by his authority and power, and by his might, he sustains everything in the world. In this world, God has given his authority to parents to raise and discipline their children, and kings and emperors to rule the country. We must first acknowledge that all authorities are appointed by God, and therefore we must submit and obey what God has set in place. Our parents at home, our teachers at school, our managers at work, our officers in the military, and our pastors at church. We must submit and obey them as we are to God himself. There was once a brother who gave a testimony about his enjoyment in speeding while driving. He enjoys the speed and the sense of power he receives while speeding through traffic. He has never repented before God about his speeding habits, so whenever he receives another ticket, all he thinks about is how to be more careful next time to not get caught. It is not until his fifth ticket that he remembered the time when he received his third ticket. The Holy Spirit has already convicted him to follow the rules and orders set by the governing authorities. Yet at that point in time, he could care less and continue to enjoy the sense of speed. He would follow the traffic law when he sees a cop and would drive recklessly when there isn't one. When he received his fifth speeding ticket, the Lord revealed to him that he's paying attention to the wrong thing. He's paying attention to the cops that are around him instead of the traffic laws that are put in place and whether he is obeying them. He repented to God for his disobedience and decided to submit in all the ordinances of men. Even though the brother has heard of many ways to get out of a traffic ticket in the past, yet this time he decided to go to court and tell the judge in all honesty that he has repented for disobeying the traffic law and asked for mercy on the traffic fines. As he genuinely repented, God did a miraculous thing for him. The cop that gave him the speeding ticket never showed up to court, and his traffic violation was removed and he didn't have to pay a fine. How often are we in the same situation as the brother in the story where God's discipline is often upon us because we are unwilling to repent? As a non-believer, God would simply let them be, but as a child of God, he will surely discipline. If there are certain things that are constantly upon us, we need to be asking God, is there something wrong? And what areas should we be repenting about because too often our eyes are set on the wrong things? For example, some brothers and sisters will pay attention to whether their pastor is present or not. If the pastor is sometimes not present, their attendance becomes inconsistent. And being late is okay too. They act as if they are coming to church for the pastor. We can hide in the sight of pastor or the cops, but we cannot hide from God. Whether you are keeping his commands, he knows and he's watching. And one day when we're before the judgment seat, there will not be an opportunity to explain ourselves because everything will be laid out before us, including our thoughts and emotions. We must learn to be one who is honest and obedient, to obey all the ordinances of man, because it is the will of God that by doing good, we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish man, and that we are to be living servants of God. 1 Peter 2:18-19 says, "Servants, be subject to your master with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly." The world teaches us that we don't need to subject ourselves to our masters, nor respect those that doesn't treat us well and cause us trouble. However, the Bible says otherwise. It says to subject ourselves to even the unjust. There are some company have cultures which the employee may disrespect their managers or boss by raising their voice and throwing a fit because they feel like they know more and they are more experienced. And it's rightfully so. There was a brother who once shared that if he wasn't fully in tune with God, he would have disrespected his boss as well. Disrespect and disobey is the way of the world, and if we're to follow the way of the world, we become like one. God wants his people to be gentle and obedient. We don't need to be afraid that we will be oppressed because just like how the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea, God is for us and will help us. We must understand that without God's permission, there is no one who can oppress us. And if God allows someone to oppress us, it may be so that it can rough our edges to humility. If we are always reasoning and arguing our way about things and won't allow anyone to tell us otherwise, often God will give us unjust masters and circumstances so that we can learn to submit. Even if one was to run or change their job, God will find another way to rough our edges, such as another boss or our husband or wife. Because he loves us, he will rough our edges until we are gentle and obedient. In 1 Peter 2:19 says, "For this is a gracious thing when one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly." And verse 20 also says, "If when you do good and suffer for it you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." In God's eyes, seeing his sons and daughters going through such honing is a beautiful thing, and David is an excellent example which touched God's heart. When David said, maybe when God see how people are treating me, he will bring me back. He's not afraid of hardships or being oppressed because he knows that God sees them and will bring him back. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to be afraid of hardships or being oppressed. When God sees us do good and yet still suffer, it is a gracious thing. One may think, why should Christians go through such suffering? But to go through suffering is a means to an end to rough our edges, to rid of our old flesh so that we may be Christ-like. It is when we are Christ-like that we may have joy, hope, and peace, and no one and no circumstances is able to harm us. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 24, bondservants, obey in everything that those who are your earthly masters, not by ways of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I constantly use this passage to encourage myself when I was working. As sons and daughters of God, whatever we do, work wholeheartedly, not for our boss, but for the Lord, so that we may receive the inheritance as our reward, because we are serving the Lord himself. There was a brother who was serving in the military, and he knew that one of the high officials is visiting the camp on his scheduled day off. Even though it's not his responsibility on his day off, he decided to clean up the campground. Little did he know, one of the camp officers happened to see him cleaning up and was touched by his doing and praised him before the whole camp. This brother then had the opportunity to share the gospel to the camp officer and also brought many people in the camp to church. God wants us to do everything on earth as if we are doing it unto him, and that whatever we do, we may be the light in our surroundings. This obedience and servanthood must be from our heart and not an act of outer appearances to please people. God cares about the order of things, especially in a family. In 1 Peter 3:1, it says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. And Ephesians chapter 5, 22 and 24 says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. A sister once shared that the biggest battle in the world is the battle between a man and a woman. However, as a daughter of God who follows his teachings, they don't have to experience this battle. And marriage can be a great blessing. The God-given role of a sister is to be determined to fully support, submit, and to be subject to her husband as if it is unto God himself. There are some sisters who may be more spiritual than their husbands, but the Bible says the husband and wives are heirs together of the grace of life. In 1 Corinthians 11:7, for a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of men. A wife's ultimate purpose is to be a helper, and she needs to be aware of her husband's spirituality and help him when needed, but not by nagging or forcing him. She can help her husband to receive glory by glorifying him so that he may glorify God. A wife who constantly glorifies her husband will be loved by her husband very much, and his family will be very different than the greatest battle described earlier. A husband really needs the respect and praise of his wife, and when the husband is respected and needed, he will respect himself and be willing to support the family the way God intended it to be. Husbands, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Too often we are listening to a message for the other person, and husbands are reading the commandments for the wife when they themselves should be following God's commandments. A husband must give himself for the gain of the church, the wife. And in order to have such ability to do so constantly and consistently, he must seek God and be passionate for him, to gain strength and love from him. It is also important for parents to also remember that children are not meant to glorify you. Some parents might be raising their children with many talents, but it's for their own glory. This is not right. Even if they don't realize it, but as the children grow up, they will realize that it was for the parents' glory and not for the glory of God. We need to remember that children are God's glory. In 1 Peter 5:5 it says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." This passage says that the younger should subject to the elders, and the elders should clothe themselves with humility towards one another. God has created orders, and we all have people and authorities we must submit ourselves to and obey to. Therefore, we must pay close attention to the order that God has created. In 1 Samuel 13, Samuel said to Saul to wait for 7 days until he arrives. Saul waited 7 days, but Samuel did not show up and the circumstances were urgent. So he took it upon himself and burnt an offering on his own accord. In 1 Samuel 15, when Samuel instructed Saul to devour all that the Amalek have to destruction, Saul spared some, and when Samuel came, he said to him, "Blessed be you to the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord." How often are we in the same situation to think that we've done well, yet we aren't fully following the instructions given us? But God knows everything, and he desires accurate and complete obedience. If someone was to instruct us a certain task, we listen partially, obey partially, and do partially. This may cause trouble for the person who gave the instruction, especially when we are told to relay a message to someone else. If we are only relaying part of the message and not the whole message, it's a recipe for trouble. If people are not able to fully trust us with assignments, how much more can God entrust us with talents and responsibilities? Are we missing the mark because we don't have ears that can listen? In all honesty, Saul could have blamed Samuel for being late, for being really late. But from God's perspective, he cares about the younger subjecting themselves to the elder. Even though Samuel was late, but Saul still should have kept Samuel's word and not ignored the second part of the instruction, "Until I come to you and show you what you should do." If Saul was obedient to Samuel, or we are obedient to our parents, our manager, or our pastors, and things were to go wrong, this is now the responsibility of the one in authority, and this is the principle and order that God has set in place. Our only role is to remain obedient and not looking for excuses and pushing blame. There is only one exception to this rule. When the person you ought to obey asks you to stand against truth and righteousness, to lie about certain things, to stop attending church meetings, to stop loving God, or asks you to do anything that is against the will of God, we will not need to submit or obey, because as Romans 14:12 says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Brothers and sisters, if we are in a place of authority, we must not be proud and keep in mind that James chapter 3:1 says, "We who teach will be judged with greater strictness." True obedience to the Lord is obeying even when no one is around you to watch. We can behave a certain way before man and act otherwise when no one is around. I really appreciate our facilities teams, because it doesn't matter if anyone is watching, they serve faithfully to maintain the church. There was an elderly brother who used to serve on the facilities teams and had not been attending church for some time because he was sick. No one knew the elderly brother was sick, but God spoke to one of the sisters to visit this elderly brother, and God also told her what to bring with her when she visits. When she arrived, she found out that he had been sick, and whatever God had instructed her to bring was exactly that the brother needed. She later told me that she was really touched because she sees how much God loves us. In John chapter 12, verse 26, "If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." And this is how the Father remembered this elderly brother. What I wanted to share is that everything we do to faithfully obey him and to serve him will be remembered. God is delighted when his sons and daughters have ears that can listen, and his promise to us is that he will manifest himself to us. In conclusion, let's ask God to help us to learn from these teachings so that we may have ears that can listen, and that he will create in us an obedient heart and to submit ourselves to those in authority. And through our obedience, we may receive his blessing and protection, and that his kingdom may be fully manifested in us. Let us pray together. Dear God, this is our desire to follow you all the days of our lives. Help us to listen to your voice and obey your commandments so that we may be your special treasure. God, reveal to us any areas in our lives where we have not been obedient to the authorities that you have placed over our lives. Forgive us for our sins of disobedience and our pride, and help us to be gentle and obedient so that whatever we do them as if it is done unto you. Help us to host your presence through our obedience so that we may be the light in our surroundings. Thank you, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.